The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It is 6:34, Bruce Hooley Show. Glad to have you along. Columbus, of course, is a big college football town. This will then interest you if you're into the Buckeyes and their chances to win a national championship. College football playoff, which they have been participants in the last 2 years, supposedly considering expanding. Where is this coming from? There we go. That's your Mike Greenberg from ESPN. Sorry about that. They are considering expanding the college football playoff from 4 to 12 teams. Boy, I vote no on that. We will have some really bad college football playoff games if they decide to go that route. The six highest-ranked conference champions and the six remaining highest-ranked teams, as determined by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Aaron, are you for a tripling of the college football playoff field from 4 to 12?
No.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know why. It's just constant changes.
Yeah. I mean, what they would do is the top four teams would get a bye. Then they would play four games where you would have, theoretically, what, 5 against 12? 6 against 11.
Are they just trying to solve the problem of, you know, the fifth person doesn't get in?
No, they're trying. There'll be an argument over 12 and 13.
Right. It's like no matter
always
how many
an
you
argument.
Add.
We argue in the NCAA tournament over 60. We argued for years over 64 and 65. Now we argue over 68 and 69. There'll always be an argument. The four highest-ranked conference champions will be seeded 1 through 4, receive a first-round bye. 5 through 12 will play each other in the first round. Okay. So you'd have a team, 12, playing on 5's home field. They would lose by 30 points. 30 points. Already we struggle with competitive semifinals. We rarely get a good semifinal. We got a good one with Ohio State and Clemson 2 years ago. It just didn't end the way that fans here wanted it to end, but it was a great game. But typically, the semifinal games are not even that good. So we're going to make the matchups inferior to the ones that we have now. But there's more money to be made, bigger TV contract. So I would imagine that that will happen. I would imagine that will happen, and I will be proven right, and they won't care because the checks will keep on coming. A lot of times, being right does not mean that people care, particularly as it concerns a certain mean orange man. Did you notice that the Inspector General's report issued yesterday about the clearing of Lafayette Square Park in Washington, D.C., did not get a lot of play on your mainstream media nightly news shows? Nope. There was no time for it. With David Muir on ABC, no time for it. With Nora O'Donnell on CBS, no time for it anywhere. Because on the night that Donald Trump left the White House, walked across the street to through Lafayette Square Park, and I would say foolishly held up a Bible in front of St. John's Church, that was a clumsy, awkward photo op. But what he really took heat for was that the bad orange man had peaceful protesters cleared from Lafayette Square Park with rubber bullets and tear gas just so he could go get his photo op holding up the Bible. Well, the Inspector General, which is nonpartisan, has done a little digging on what happened in June of 2020. And what the Inspector General found is that the order to clear the park had been issued days before. It was already on the docket for Capitol Police to clear Lafayette Square Park of everyone that night at that time for a construction project. They had no way of knowing that there would be protesters in the park at the time. No way of knowing. Which, of course, did not stop Joe Biden from tweeting at the time. He's using the American military against the American people. He tear gassed peaceful protesters and fired rubber bullets for a photo, for our children, for the very soul of our country. We must defeat him. I mean it when I say this. We can only do it together. Or with fraudulent mail-in voting and ballot harvesting. You can do it with that, too. NPR Politics tweeted similarly. Kamala Harris tweeted, Donald Trump just tear gassed peaceful protesters for a photo op. I'm sure there's an apology coming. So that was yesterday. Today comes word of a medical study by a hospital in New Jersey that finds that the, and I love how this is worded on Yahoo News, controversial drug, hydroxychloroquine, touted by former President Donald Trump, increased the survival rate of severely ill coronavirus patients. Huh? What? The controversial drug. Why is it controversial? It's been around for decades. It costs about $10 for the COVID protocol amount of hydroxychloroquine in combination with zinc. Why is that controversial? Oh, because former President Donald Trump touted it. Well, the study found that the anti-malarial drug hydroxychloroquine, along with zinc, could increase the coronavirus survival rate by as much as, what, 2%? 12%? Maybe 20%? No. No. The study found that hydroxychloroquine along with zinc could increase the coronavirus survival rate by as much as nearly 200%. So let's see. If 600,000 Americans died of COVID and a treatment regimen recommended by President Trump had reduced the death rate by 200%, would have been pretty hard to pin COVID on him if it killed 200,000 people instead of 600,000. The study quotes, "We found that when the cumulative doses of the two drugs, hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, were above a certain level, patients had a survival rate 2.9 times the other patients." So almost 300%. Wow. Study was conducted by St. Barnabas Medical Center in New Jersey on 255 patients. Wow, isn't that interesting? This is a merry coincidence that we have going on, ladies and gentlemen. Hydroxychloroquine, controversial, touted by the former president, was lampooned pillar to post because Donald Trump said it. Likewise, the Wuhan lab leak theory was roundly mocked because Donald Trump said it. The wall at the southern border and the clampdown on people coming across the southern border was racist because Donald Trump said exactly the same thing Kamala Harris said the other day. And then, of course, we heard for how many years that Trump was a pawn of Vladimir Putin, that he was elected due to Russian collusion, that the Russians were paying the Taliban bounties for killing American soldiers in the Middle East, and that Trump called the top Georgia election official and told him to find the fraud. all of those stories reported breathlessly by the mainstream media, 100% false, or as they would like to say, debunked. Isn't it interesting how the wall is racist, the Wuhan lab theory, the very fine people in Charlottesville, the hydroxychloroquine, the Russian Taliban connection, the Georgia voting, the collusion, all of it the media got wrong, and all of it was damaging to Donald Trump. Do we have a list? I got a lot of papers here on my desk. I'm looking around, looking for the list of things reported that reflect poorly on Democrats. I got nothing. Because there is nothing. Because these people like Jim Acosta and Don Lemon and Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid and David Muir and Nora O'Donnell and Leslie Stahl and on and on and on and on are not journalists. They're not. They're opinionists. They're partisans. They're hacks. You know what else Trump was right about? They are enemies of the people. They are. Because we require a press, in an ideal world, to be dispassionate, to not have a rooting interest. Listen to Ken Delanian of MSNBC reflecting on this Inspector General report that shows that everything reported about Trump having the park cleared for a photo op was 100% false.
It doesn't second-guess the decision to clear the protesters. It says that the park police was within their rights. And this is controversial, Chuck. Black Lives Matter is suing the Justice Department in federal court over this. And our own Garrett Hake was there that day and reported, if you recall, that the protests were not violent at that moment until the police moved in and caused violence. That was his direct bird's eye reporting, Chuck. So this remains an issue of controversy, narrative we thought we knew is not the reality.
The narrative we thought we knew is not the reality. Why is there a narrative? Why is there a narrative at all? Why do we come to the table, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC? Why do you come to the table with a narrative? That's not your job. It's not your job to come to the table with a narrative, AP, Reuters. It's your job to see what's going on and report just that. You know and I know. That doesn't happen anymore. That's why you cannot trust the mainstream media. Because time after time after time after time after time after time after time, they are proven liars. .651, don't forget business owners, AUIinfo.com, an ally for you when it comes to helping your business grow. How? Well, better benefits mean better employees, better retention, better benefits available without you investigating them by letting AUI do it for you. That's what they do. You don't pay them to do it either. They're paid by the insurance company you select. They give you options. You select the right insurance package for your business. Two employees, it's okay, you qualify. 50 employees, that's okay, you qualify too. They are a small business. They understand small business. And one of the things you might not know, you can obtain the buying power of a big organization by using a Chamber of Commerce plan, and you need not be a member of the chamber offering the plan to get that plan. You can join any chamber and get any chamber plan in Ohio. I believe there are 8 or 9. I'm not positive, but AUIinfo.com is. That's why you need to go to their website and use their chat feature to find out if you're paying too much for too little with your insurance, health, disability, vision, dental, all of it or a part of it. AUIinfo.com can answer every question, and they will. AUIinfo.com. Now, speaking of not getting what you're paying for, a news report from Axios citing investigations by various bureaus of unemployment across the U.S. and the Bureau of Labor, says that as much as half of all unemployment benefits distributed during the COVID-19 pandemic may have been scams or fraud. Now, the reason why fraud peaked during the pandemic is because the government was in such a big hurry to get the checks out. This would be a major failing of the Trump administration if this happened, and a major failing of the Biden administration if it continued to happen. They believe that a lot of the money is lost to foreign governments and foreign hackers. Makes sense, right? America's passing out checks. Why not try to get them? How bad could this get? Well, California thinks it might have mailed as much as $1 billion to inmates in its 38 prisons. In the state. I'm sorry, if you're in prison, you're not eligible for unemployment. But this guy is now in prison because he was a little bit too eligible for unemployment. His name is Fontrell Antonio Baines. He is a rapper who goes by the name of Nuke Bizzle. Now, I don't follow the rap scene, but I'm sure Aaron does. Aaron, are you aware of the talents of Nuke Bizzle?
No.
No?
I've never heard of him.
No, he's probably an up-and-comer. Actually, he's a going-awayer right now. He used debit cards preloaded with unemployment benefits administered by the California Employment Development Department to finesse $1.2 million in fraudulently obtained benefits through 92 debit cards. Over $700,000 of Mr. Nuke Bizzle's benefits were obtained through cash withdrawals and purchases of merchandise and services. Nuke might have gotten away with it, except that he thought this whole thing made great fodder for a music video that he posted on YouTube, in which he displayed a stack of the debit cards. Probably not a good idea. He now faces up to 22 years in prison for device fraud, aggravated identity theft, yeah, really, and interstate transportation of stolen property. Well, that'll make his rap videos worth more, I would imagine. He's a persecuted criminal now. But what if 70% of this money was stolen by overseas entities? Criminal syndicates, they think, in China? Oh, they're not a... they're not a competitor. They're a partner. Remember that. Nigeria, Russia, don't worry. Biden's going over. He's going to get right on this with Vladimir Putin. Jill Biden says Joe Biden is over-prepared for his summit with Vladimir Putin. Yeah, I bet he is. I bet he's over-prepared. The $400 billion in fraud is four times what the Labor Department predicted it had been fleeced of in February. Four times. Wow. This, ladies and gentlemen, is indicative of what happens when we put government in charge of things and when we ask them to do it quickly. We get rampant fraud. Rampant, rampant, rampant fraud. Now, as for Joe Biden's over-preparation for this summit, did you see the tweet that Dr. Jill posted on Twitter the other day, Aaron? Did you see Dr. Jill on Air Force One?
I didn't.
You don't follow Dr. Jill?
I don't.
That's a fail on your part. Dr. Jill was seated at the Oval Office desk on Air Force One. No Joe in the picture. He was napping or watching Mannix. She was there surrounded by papers, had her, I think she had glasses on. And she said, preparing for the G7. Did we elect her? Did I miss that? Why would she be preparing for the G7?
I don't know.
We are so screwed. I mean, just she was seen in England sporting a jacket with the word love printed across the back. She told reporters the Bidens are, quote, bringing love from America, trying to bring unity across the globe. Wow. How very kumbaya of you, Dr. Jill. She said it is important for people to feel a sense of unity and hope after this year of the pandemic. Said Joe has been studying for weeks and that he knows most of the leaders participating in the summit from his days as vice president in the Obama administration. How could we be in better hands? It's not possible, is it? Larry Elder is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.